sets the stage, if you will, of a service. I've seen it many times. A lot of times at home, I've seen the Sunday school teacher get up in Sunday school and set the stage for the minister that's coming behind him. And so I'm assuming that the Lord really wants us to get a hold of faith tonight. The scripture says that without faith it is impossible to please God. So brother said that puts a great emphasis on faith. For every child of God's desire is to please God. The only way to please God is through faith, to have faith in God. That scripture goes on to say, for we must believe that He is. I've pondered that scripture for a long, long time. For my years of being saved, that scripture has been very powerful to me. The must believe that He is surely talking about more than us to be able to say with our mouths, I believe that there's a God somewhere. A lot of people in the world still say, when the studies are done and the question is asked, do you believe in God? I think still about 87% of the American population says yes to that question, that I believe that there's a God. I don't think that that's all that scripture is saying when it says that we must believe that He is. But what does it mean to you tonight to believe that God is? Because I'm going to tell you, when you get down to it and you say that God is, and you really believe, it's not just saying it with the mouth, folks. It's believing it in your heart that God is, and God is what God said He was. And when you get the understanding that there is a God, He is self-existent. When He said, Moses said, who shall you I say that sent me? He said, tell them I am sent you. The self-existent one. It's the same thing as saying He is. He is self-existent. Do you realize what it really says to us believers? To really believe God is, because if He is, I can't travel down this road tonight without knowing that God is. When we start a trip, friend, my friend, the thing that we do when we get in the van, and it's usually hectic. I'll just be honest with you. It's usually a hectic time when we're taking off 1,000 or 1,200 miles to go on a trip. It's been chaotic. But we stop and bow our heads, because He is. And we need Him. We need Him. I need God. He is in existence. And to say that, it means that God knows my thoughts. Do you realize you're not dealing with man tonight? You're dealing with a God that is. A God that proclaims He knows your thoughts. He knows the deepest thoughts of your life. He knows everything about you. He created you. Do you know what kind of response? It's no wonder that this world wants to get rid of the idea of God. Because if He is, every human being is responsible to one that created them. Oh, if we just happened, let us run amok. If we just happened, I can make my own rules of this thing. I'm responsible to no one. I'm not responsible to you. I'm not responsible to the dictates of society or morality or anything. I'm not responsible for anything, but if God is, I'm responsible.
That's right.
If God is, you and I are breathing His air tonight.
Right.
If God is, you and I eat His food. For the heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. And all that is involved in it is God doing it. And therefore I become drastically, desperately responsible to the God that created me. We must first believe that He is. He is in existence. God is. Oh, I'm telling you. To those that don't know God, that is fearful. Let us run and hide. If I'm not willing to do that, let me run and hide. But if I am, it brings great hope to my life. I am so glad to be able to say tonight, God is. Because I need Him so bad. I need Him when we take off on trips. I need the consolation. Not only that God's going to protect me, that God's going to cause the van to run well, which I ask Him regularly, but there is that God is in this trip that I'm taking. That God is there for me. That God is leading this thing. That God's going to make it a blessing. That God's going to make it work. Because I find it impossible to do it myself. I can't do it myself. So we must first believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm going to tell you something, though, folks. It didn't say haphazardly seek Him. It didn't say just fall into the thing. It didn't say just going to get there. But by faith, diligently seeking Him, I know, I believe, I have faith that if we diligently seek the Lord, He will answer every need of our life. You got a question about how things ought to be, or you're not sure about things, or you're in a wonderment tonight, I'm going to tell you, by faith, God will reveal it by faith. You remember the story of Daniel? Daniel was a faithful subject of God. And his world got turned upside down when Nebuchadnezzar went and took the children of Israel and of Judah. They took the children of Israel and carried them away captive. God had predicted that that was going to happen. There was faithful people there, but do you know they got carried away too? And Daniel loved the Lord and wanted to serve the Lord. And as a penalty to idolatry and unfaithfulness, God allowed the people to be carried away. But in the midst of unfaithful people, there was someone that was faithful. And there Daniel was. And Daniel was carried away because he was good looking and he was smart and he had something to offer. The king took him and they're going to put him in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. And he, right off, he comes into that and... Do you know the Lord never failed Daniel in all the years of serving in that old heathen place, unlike anything he had known? But God was true to him and was a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Daniel was a product of one that sought God. And if you remember, there come a time that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he woke up troubled from the dream. And so he called in his magicians and soothsayers and astrologers and said, I'm troubled and I need you to give me an answer here and tell me what the meaning of the dream was. And they said, tell us the dream and we'll tell you the meaning. And he said, I forgot what was. And they said, no king could ever ask such a thing. And he said to them, you're a bunch of phonies. You tell me the dream and the answer of it, or I'm going to kill all of you. And you know who one of those men were? It was Daniel. Daniel was one of those men. And then word got to him. If you remember the story, the word came to Daniel. And Daniel said, give me some time. Oh, what man can know another man's dreams? None can. But he said, I know one that knows. And he went to God, and if you remember the story, after diligently seeking the Lord, by faith, He is. Folks, do you know He knows your dreams? He knows other people's dreams. He knows the purposes and the times and the seasons. He knows the times and seasons of your life. He knows what's appropriate and right for this time in your life. He put Daniel there for a reason and a purpose. And Daniel went to the Lord, and in the night season, God gave him the dream and the interpretation thereof. And Daniel was able to come back, and I want to tell you something about Daniel. He was faithful, and he didn't come back as carnality would and say, all the rest of these men are a bunch of imposters, and you ought to get rid of them. No, it wasn't his He was out to help people. His mind was to God. He had faith in God. He didn't have to belittle anybody else. Folks, when we really have this, it's right in God. He had faith in God. God is able to do this. And he went before the king and said, the God of heaven, not me, but the God of heaven has given me this dream. for you and God. And he was one that diligently sought God. And God was faithful. And I want to tell you, folks, he lived in a time that it would have been easy to look around and have been discouraged. And said, God isn't with this. I was carried away from my homeland. And here I am in this place. And surely God ain't in this. But I'm going to tell you, get your eyes off of the situations of the world. Get the eyes off of the problems that you have in life. Get your eyes off of that and have faith in God. Believe in God, and God can work it out in our lives. I want to look at a very familiar scripture. It's in the, I believe it's in the 14th chapter of Matthew. Verse 22. It says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come with thee on the water. Now, Peter gets a bad rap for a lot of this stuff. But now, he was the only one that said that. But he was exercising faith in God, faith in the Lord, to go into that place. Lord, you're there. Where you're at, I want to be. Lord, bid me come too. I admire that. I think we all need a good dose of that. Lord, help me exercise my faith in God. Bring me to the things and the impossible times and the things that look too big for me and all those things. At least there was a place that Peter, and Peter seemed like he was like that more than the other ones. But he wanted it and he desired it. And Lord, bid me to come. Bid me to come too. And so the Lord said, come. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. To me, this has a real representation to it. Men can't walk on water. There's a lot of things that's just impossible in life. There's a lot of things that's too big, too hard, too much. For my human abilities, for my way of doing things. I like to tell this story. It was kind of a little funny thing that happened in my life. It was my oldest daughter. She was just a little old child, and she was playing with a balloon one day. I was at work, and she was playing with the balloon, and the balloon popped on her, and she was troubled about it, and her mother was kind of consoling her, and she said, Oh, it's all right. Daddy will fix it when he gets home. And when I got home, she told me what she said and left me with a real challenge. I thought, you know, that's a real confidence. She had a lot of confidence in me. Daddy can fix a balloon that's popped. Well, boy, I was scratching my head and I thought, there's no way to fix a balloon. You know, I would weld little plastic things back together and burn them and melt them and glue things and fix little toys for them and done all kind of things. And there's always baling wire, and there's baling twine, and there's tape, and there's glue, and there's all these things to help you out. And I started thinking, how are you going to fix a balloon? Well, you can't tape a balloon. You can't glue one. Wire wouldn't help you out on a balloon. And I just come to the reality, you know, I hit my limitations just real quick with that. I can't fix a balloon, but the Lord assured me that He could fix
broken lives, lives that's been taught, things that's been taken away, the Lord can bring them back to you. The things the devil stole out of your life, the places that there's no, God can fix it. He assured me I can make it hold air again. God, have faith in God. Do you know it's a mistake to put confidence in man? Man will always let you down. Don't get your eyes on him. Jesus is the one we need. He can fix your troubled lives. Oh, have faith in God. I'm telling you, God will work the miracles in your life. He can do it tonight. God knows how to do it. And I'm so glad that He does. He's still a miracle worker. And Peter said, I want to be with God, but I can't walk on water. But he said, bid me come, Lord. And at that word, come, come, Peter, he stepped out. He started enacting a faith that was causing him to do more than humans can do, but through God. See, it's faith in God. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need faith too, because it's through faith. It's by grace through faith. We have to have faith to even get saved. You have to have faith to stay saved. You have to have faith to go on in God, to believe in God. You have to have faith. Peter said, bid me come. And he said, come. And he got down. He actually got down off of that ship believing. He wouldn't have got down if he didn't believe. He got down. And when the trial ran, he was going to walk on the way. He was going to Jesus. And he was going the impossible way when things was too big for him. And I'm going to tell you something. The Scripture says that the sea was already contrary. It didn't happen after he got out there. It was already contrary. And he, by faith, started off. But listen to this. Because I think we all can probably relate in some way or another to this. And this is very familiar Scripture to us. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I think Peter could have got back, maybe got back on the ship and kind of shook his head and maybe said, I thought I had more faith than that. Have you ever been in a battle? Have you ever been in a battle and the storm is so rough, so hard, and you're looking, and folks, there's a real lesson in here. Don't look at the winds. Don't look at the tides of life. Don't look at the things, because this is the fact. It wasn't the sea and the wind that was about to destroy Peter. It was a lack of faith. His faith was too small. And it'll happen the same way in our lives. Folks, I'm going to tell you, in God tonight, it's not the storm that's going to destroy you. It's not the enemy that's going to destroy you. It's not the magistrates. It's not the kings. It's not the people of this world. Folks, they're all under God's control. The wind that's so boisterous and the sea that's so rough, it is still God's seas, and that's not what's going to destroy you. It's not the devil. All the devil's destroying him. No, he's not. He's allowed to run a course, and that's all he does, is what God allows him to do. What's going to destroy us, is, folks, is when we get our eyes on it and allow it to make us fearful and make us afraid. Too afraid to step out. Too afraid to go on with God. And it'll happen every time we get our eyes focused on it and give it the attention and give it the affection. When we start looking and giving it all that, folks, it's going to wear us down. If Peter would have said, it's not a denial, folks. I'm not saying that, and I don't believe it's true. It's not to say that the storm's not rough or that the wind's not blowing. Going around denying what's obvious is not what it's about. It's about believing in a God that's bigger than the storm. It's about a God that owns the storms of our life. There was another story of three Hebrew children. Do you remember the story? These three Hebrews right off got themselves into quite a what did they do? Faithful to God. Folks, they come on them. They had been faithful to God. The only thing you could accuse them of was being faithful. And because this king got in his head, Daniel explained the dream to him, if you remember, and he decided he's going to make a great image. And and I imagine, I know if it was me, I, it's the way I think, I'd be my own business, and some king gets himself a notion he's going to make an idol, and here I'm in the biggest trial of my life. That doesn't make sense to me, but here I am. I didn't do a thing, Lord, but trust you. But, you know, that's the way it is. And so here come, do you know that God had a purpose in having a Daniel? And he had a purpose in having these three faithful brethren there? He had a purpose that he created them for. Do you know that that Nebuchadnezzar was greatly impacted by these Hebrews' lives? He came to the place that he said, everyone's to serve the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Because three men had faith enough in God. You can say, do you believe that he is? Well, yeah, I believe that he is. But now it's time to really say, I believe that he is. Now I believe that he is. My life's at stake. My life's on the line. Is God God? Yes, he is. And now I'm here to stand with my life on the line saying, he's God. Oh, I believe he's God. See, you can take, the scripture says, fear not them that's able to destroy the body, but fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. See, now it comes down to it, because this is the truth. You may, or they may, or someone may decide that they don't like me and decide they're going to take my life, but you can only take my life. Understand? You can only take it. You can't take the rest of it. You can't take my faith in God. You can't take my eternal destiny. Oh, I can imagine old Stephen there being stoned, or those martyrs that were stoned. I can see them in their mind. Oh, brother, you're about to set me free. Throw that. Be careful. Be careful how hard you throw that stone, brother, because you throw it too hard. And, oh, it's all over for me. And you're going to set me forever free. Because God is. Because God is. So the Hebrew children, you remember the story. The king says that at the sound of the clarinet and the trumpet and the music, that everyone's to bow and worship. Oh, it was against their principles. They worship God and worship God alone. And so their knees didn't bow. You remember the story. They got a second opportunity. We're going to play it. We're going to do his music one more time. And this time, you better do it. Oh, king, we're not careful in answering you. We're not doing it because we believe God. God is able, and he will deliver us. But if not, we're still not bound to that. So the king's anger was kindled. So he said, make it seven times hotter than it had ever been before, and take them and throw them in there, and the people will know that I am king. And that what I say goes. But I want to tell you, folks, there's one bigger than the kings. There's one higher than the kings. There's one that rules over those kind of things in our life. There is nothing that can touch us. Nothing until God says it's right to do it. You believe that? They threw them in there. And oh, I imagine the scene, only by my mind in the scriptures, but I imagine the scene. And the king's there, and they throw him in, and he thinks, now everyone will soon listen to me, and this is, I'm king. What? He looks up, and he said, did we not throw three guys in there? Now something's going on here. We threw three in there, but there's four. And they're unbound. They was tied up. They was bound. And we thought, and they're loose and walking around down there. And he said, I don't know how he knows this. I don't know what it registered to him. But he said, one of them looks like unto the Son of God. One of them was a glowing beyond the glow of the fire. One of them had a brilliance about him. There's a song I heard recently. It was really touching. But it was a song that said, it was kind of children asking their mom and said, well, Mom, where'd that fourth man go? He's still there. He's still in the fire. He's still in your difficulties. He still rules the fires, folks. He rules the fires. Do you know? They did not burn. They didn't burn. He burnt the what held them, but they come out of there, and the testimony was there's not even the smell of smoke on their garments. Nothing was singed. You know how easy hair singed is? When the Lord says fire, the fire won't burn, it won't burn. And when he says that that's in the fire. There's one that can sustain you and hold you. And we're to believe and have faith in God, this God, this God. Oh, get your eyes off and see you can look at the furnace and fail in faith. Oh, who can possibly endure the furnace? Don't look at the furnace. Look at the Son of God in there. Walk with us, Lord. Talk with us. Be with us. Encourage us and inspire us. We face a very difficult challenge in our day. 2011, and things are changing. You feel it? You sense it? It's a different world. Things are different. Oh, but God's not different. God's a master of the future too. I'm going to tell you, He's chosen His Daniels. Us! He's chosen us for 2011 to have faith in God. You know, recently, guys, I've heard it for a number of years, but a brother recently confirmed it again, a prophecy that he believes is going to come true. He prophesied that there will be, sometime in the future, scientific advancements and understandings that will utterly destroy the whole notion of God to people of the world. That the advancement, there'll be some disguise, some things that will utterly, I'm not predicting that. I'm saying this brother's predicted that. Prophesied it. That there's going to be some advancements that will so do that, that it will rock faith. It will utterly shatter the fragile faith. And folks, if it's true, it could be. It's going to take faith in God. It's going to take a relationship, folks, beyond I go to church. Beyond I'm a part of a movement. It's going to take an understanding and a realization of who God is in here. He's resurrected in here. He's something to me. I find Him to be true. He's answered my prayer. He's healed my body. He's healed my children. He's alive. He's well. He is and He will always be. He is, will always be to me, God. I don't care what any discovery is. God's made Himself real to my heart, my life. He's real. He talks to me. He lives in me. I know it's real. I've experienced it. I've had Him deal with my life in such ways, my ministries in such ways, that it's just outstanding, and I've never deserved it, but He's done it anyway. Because He's God. And so Peter walked a few steps anyway, but he looked away. And he got his attention in mind. And this is written in the Scriptures for our admonition. Get your eyes off the wind. Get your eyes off the movements of the world. Folks, they're failing anyway. They're a competition to God anyway. They're coming against the saints of God. Get your eyes off of them. I'm not saying don't stick your head in the sand and don't realize that they're there. They're there. But I've got my eyes on something that's realer than all of that. I got my eyes on something that's going to sustain me. Now, we've all probably been here, and I imagine you all probably realize this. I know I've been here many, many times in my experience. But do you realize, you can go back and read what I didn't read of the first part of the 14th chapter. God had just showed them a very outstanding miracle of feeding the 5,000. You remember? I mean, this all led up to a very, very powerful place of what should have been faith, or what could have been faith, or what they should have looked and said, he's done something no man can do. This is the Son of God here. This is a place of built faith. And we think that sometimes. I want to tell you something. I've never known of yesterday's miracles holding me for today. If you're different, that's all right. We build on them. We appreciate God. I got a testimony of them. And I can look back and draw strength by and encourage from it. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes down to today's challenges, I need a fresh dose. I need something from God Himself. I need to have a faith to find God today with that problem. How many times that we've been in that kind of place, and maybe a long sickness with the children or whatever it is, and God come to the rescue through faith and prayer and come and just touch in a marvelous way, and we rejoice and praise God. sick the next day.
You know what I'm talking about. You would think, well, you just seen God in the greatest of miracles, and now you're wallowing around here again. Lord, help our faith
and our humanity. One of the greatest prophets was Elijah. God knew, he was a man of God, feared. He went down there, and there come a time that he was by himself, him and his servant, and they was 450 false prophets, best I remember, down there, competing against one another. And they said, whoever, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. You remember? And the prophets of Baal and of Asher got there, and they cut themselves and cried and heard that, and Elijah stood there and mocked at them. Oh, perhaps your God's asleep. Maybe he's on a journey somewhere. Maybe he's vacationing. Why, you got it? And he sat there and he done that. And there come a time through the day they labored and tried to get their God to hear, and nothing failed. And then at the prayer of Elijah. And you remember the preparations? They kept saying, and this was during this drought time too. Kept saying, get barrels of water. Go get some barrels of water. Wasn't much water, but go get some barrels. Kept pouring around. Get another one. Pour it around there. Soak this thing down good. And then he prayed. Just a simple prayer. Oh, God of heaven. Lord, he said something to the fact that they could know that there's a God in Israel and that I'm your servant. And God sent the fire down. And a powerful and a miracle and a grace, and then they slew all those prophets and let God be God. The challenge had been met, and God came through. It wasn't no time at all that this guy is up there in a cave. You know, that very day the queen Jezebel said, they told her about that, and she said, before the sun, he's going to be as one of them, and we're after him. And boy, he took off. You know, you'd like to sit and think, well, God, smite her. I mean, whatever. I mean, Lord, defend this here. And he took off saying, I'm about to die. After all this, and she's after me and all that. Folks, our humanity's there, and I realize that it is. But we need to have faith in God. A reality that he is real. He wants to. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Without it, without that kind of faith, there's going to be something that's going to blow us over. There's going to be something that's not going to work for us in our life. I was always especially fond of the story of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah come up against something. You remember when Sennacherib came with the Assyrian armies, I believe it was 180,000. And he come making his boast, and he come up and he shouted to the people to discourage him and say, now don't you listen to Hezekiah. He's going to try to tell you that your God can deliver you out of our hands, and that's just exactly what all the other people that we've conquered have said. So don't listen to him. You make peace with us, because we're coming after you, and we will not be deterred. We're coming to get you. And you remember all that? And finally they wrote a letter and sent it to Hezekiah, and they're trying to get him to give up peacefully, but don't matter, we're going to come and get you anyway. And he looked at that and said, it is true. It is true. Lord, he told God, he said, it is true. There is nobody withstood him. Folks, if you just look at the circumstances, you're going to be awful discouraged. And if you look at the circumstances, you're going to falter, and you're going to fail, and it's never going to accomplish anything or get you anywhere. You're never going to see it overcoming. But what happened with him? He believed. My eyes are on thee. He believed in God. Oh, 180,000 armies, nothing to God. It never has been. Oh, Hezekiah must have looked and believed in the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of Joshua that come across there, and who can tear down a city wall? But Joshua was obedient, and God brought it down. And the story of Gideon and of Caleb, and he must have believed of the God Abel? He had faith, and he said, his eyes, are my eyes on you. And he brought the letter. Do you remember he brought the letter? I like that. I love it. I mean, he brought the letter, and he brought it to, and he laid it out on the altar. And basically to say, Lord, I've read it, and I'd like you to read it. You read their intention. You read what they're doing. Lord, we're small in your sight. There's no way that we can defend against. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. I'm saying don't look at it. Don't give it its credit. Don't give it its due. Don't be overwhelmed by that. He said, my God's able. Read this. You remember what happened? He brought that and spread it out before the Lord. 180,000. There was never a battle, folks. God fought the battle. Oh, the battle's not ours, said little David. It's not my battle. We come in the name of the Lord. It's the Lord that's conquering. It's the Lord that rides the white horse. He's the one that swings and wields the sword. And he's mighty and he's powerful and he can work in our lives. Get your eyes off the wind and off the sea and off the turmoil of this world, folks. This world's doomed anyway. Get your eyes off of those things that's discouraging all. And get it on the Lord Jesus. He's able. He will do it. If I'm not mistaken, Sennacherib went back and he died. They had an assassination after all the big brags and all that stuff. Do you realize what we're dealing with here? We're dealing with a God that can destroy you by a spider bite. He can send the hornets after you. You didn't think he can almighty, you know, Brother Ron pointed out there's a great big, well, that thing must be that big, Brother Ron. There's a hornet's nest down there. And today I wanted to show my children, so I drove my van windshield right up to that. It hit the windshield right there on that hornet's nest. And my wife said, well, those things could destroy you, eat you up. I said, well, yeah, they're just all them there. You can't fight the hornets. God can send whatever he wants to send them. I tell you, he's still in control of life today. Be encouraged today, all saints. Be encouraged. And something to remember. We need to build our most holy faith. It doesn't just fall on us. It doesn't just work that way. Faithfulness in God. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Living for the Lord. Trusting in God. God builds our most holy faith up. Peter had much more faith at the end of his life than he had at this time. There come a time that Peter, according to history, said, do me a favor. Don't crucify me upside. I don't feel worthy to be crucified like the Lord was. Turn me upside. And history says that they turned him upside down to be crucified. He died with his head down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified like the Lord was. Oh, but he had faith in God. Oh, he didn't say don't do it because he knew it's better on over there. It's better off. You're not doing anything but sending me home. Lord, help us tonight. Many times the attacks, whether it's persecution, affliction, problems of all kinds, we get our eyes set on that thing and we'll let that thing wear us out to the point that we hardly have faith at all. I'm not saying, to use the terminology, I don't claim it. I haven't got the right not to claim it. If the Lord allows it to come there, but you don't need to get your eyes on it. There's one that rules the wind and sea. You remember the other story, and we'll close, but you remember the story of the disciples in the ship? And Jesus is on the ship. He's down in there, and he's asleep. And the sea rose up, and his disciples were so concerned. They were so worried. Jesus had an expression that he used to disciples quite often. Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Why do you doubt? Why do you fear? To think that after all of that, and folks, we're as human as they are. It's just the truth. After all that the Lord had shown them to see, to understand, they was in a ship one time, and the Lord was there with them. Oh, if the Lord be with us, folks, there is not a ship ever made that could go down with the Lord on it. But then when the storm came, they saw the storm. They looked at it, and they said to the Lord, what an accusation, what a thing to say. Lord, do you not care? He cares.
Yes, he does.
He cares. His love for us is without limits. He loves us tonight. And they said, "Do you not care?" Do you remember what he did? He went up and he said, "Peace be still." And then they stood there saying, "What manner of man is this that even the elements obey?" Well, my favorite expression was that he had a right to tell it to stop because he's the one that told it to start. He's the creator of it. And when he said, "Peace be still," the elements listened and it laid down. And I can imagine that sea was like glass. A great calm. Oh, have faith in God. Because I'm going to tell you, when the storm has run its course and purpose, he will speak peace. And there will be a great calm. He gives the storms for our purposes and for our strengths. Folks, it's to get our eyes on him. We are facing a very difficult time, but as was already mentioned, faith, an active faith, a faith that works. What do you think the world around us, our friends, our family, what do you think when they see us not believing? What do you think it means to them when we can say, we can go to church, we can do all that, but what do we really say with our lives? God is. God is. When they look on and say, they really believe. You know, something that was so impressive before I was saved? I had a grandmother that was said of her, she lives what she says. She believed in God, and she lived like there was a God. She had faith in God. And people that looked on knew that she lived her life like there was a God. They didn't always believe what she'd done, but they believed she believed it. They knew that she had faith. Lord, help us tonight. Get your eyes off of it. And get your eyes on what matters. Get your eyes, your confidences on the Lord. Because we are ambassadors in 2011. We're the ones that's be able to say to those that's faulting and to those that are... Jesus ain't here literally now to lift people up. He wants us to do it. He wants us to have the faith. He wants us to be in the place to be able to help and lift up and encourage and inspire through faith in God. It's our place. 2011, let's take on the responsibility. Anyone want to dare to be a Daniel? Well, now Daniel had his trials. But you know, he had enough faith to believe that he could go on praying 3 times a day anyway.
Yes.
It's just the lion's den, Brother Ivan. And if the lions eat me, I'm free of this old body. But I got a God that created lions. I got a God that gives me the interpretation of dreams and gives me answers to problems. And I've got a God that's been faithful all the way. And I'm going to tell you something else, and you ponder it. Faith is a decision. We like to think that it's some mystical thing that you either got or you got don't have. No, it's not. It's a decision that you make in your life. I want to believe. I choose of my will. I choose to believe. Lord, you help me to have the kind of faith you want.